Thanks be to God, for he gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow Christians who believe that Christ will return to judge the living and the dead, there are 365 days throughout the year. And for the most part, those days don't really matter much to us. They don't have a whole lot of meaning. But there are some days that you look forward to. When you were a child, you probably looked forward to the day of your birthday, or you looked forward to holidays such as Christmas and Thanksgiving. As an adult, you may look forward to the day when the child is born, or the day of someone's wedding. But there is one day mentioned in Scripture that is above every other day, and it's Judgment Day. Are you excited for Judgment Day? Do you look forward to the day when Christ returns? You may be excited. You may be excited to see Christ return in all of his glory. You may be excited to see everyone rise from their graves. But are you prepared for Judgment Day? For on Judgment Day, you can't hide in the crowd. You can't sneak your way into heaven. Every single one of us will have to stand before our glorious judge and give an account of our life. God is going to ask you, "Why should I allow you into heaven?" And do you know what you will say? Are you prepared to give an answer? And that's what Malachi tells us about this morning. He wants us to be prepared. For behold, the day is coming, and that day brings judgment. But who is Malachi? Malachi was the very last prophet of the Old Testament, and he prophesied around the year 400 BC. But 200 years before God called Malachi to prophesy, the Israelites were thrown into exile because of their sin. For 70 years they were in exile in Babylon. But after those 70 years, God brought the Israelites back to the Promised Land. And how did the Israelites respond to this great love? Eventually, they rebuilt the temple and dedicated it to God. They reread the law of Moses and confessed their sins. They promised to be faithful to God. But in time, the Israelites once again became unfaithful. Some of them were marrying pagan women who worshipped other gods. And so once again, they were flirting with the sin of idolatry. Some of them were not bringing their best offerings to God, for they were bringing crippled and blind animals, which greatly upset God. And some of them were even saying this: "Where is the God of justice? It is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape." The people thought it was pointless to follow God. They thought it was pointless to obey God's laws, because in their minds they thought every evil person can do whatever they want, and God doesn't punish the wicked. It was because of this idea, that God does not punish the wicked, that God sent Malachi to say these words: "Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day that is coming will set them on fire." Don't be fooled. The day is coming. Now, we don't know when that day will happen. Scripture doesn't tell us. But God assures us that Christ will return. And as Christians, we do believe that Judgment Day will happen. But there are unbelievers in the world who simply deny that Christ will return to judge the living and the dead. They mock us for believing that Judgment Day will happen. And this shouldn't surprise us. For even Peter told us that they would say, "Where is this coming he promised? Everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But the day is coming. And the day brings judgment. Malachi tells us that that day will bring fire. And it will burn like a furnace. And the word that Malachi uses to describe this fire is the fire that was found in their melting pots, where they would refine their elements such as gold and silver. To visualize this picture, just imagine a blacksmith and the intense heat of the fire that he needs to turn a piece of metal into bright yellow or red so that he can forge that piece of metal. That's the type of fire that Malachi is describing here. And this fire is reserved for the wicked. It will be unbearable. It will consume them. The devastation will be so great that Malachi says not a root or a branch will be left to them. It is no wonder that on Judgment Day, the wicked will cry out to the mountains to cover them, to hide them from God's judgment. But they cannot escape God's wrath. They cannot escape God's judgment. The fire will burn them. But does this mean that on Judgment Day, God is simply going to destroy and annihilate the wicked so that they no longer exist? No. Scripture makes it very clear that God's judgment against the wicked will last forever. And so the wicked will suffer eternal death in the fires of hell. And it will never end. The day is coming, and it brings judgment. Are you prepared for Judgment Day? Are you prepared for God's judgment? For do not be fooled by what bumper stickers will tell you, that God hates sin, but he loves the sinner. Listen to what Scripture says. "You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men, the Lord abhors." God hates sin. He also hates those who commit sin. He hates sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We were conceived as sinners, and we live out our whole lives committing sin. For we lie, we lust, we hate and harm others, and we do not love God above all things. And there's one sin mentioned here that we really need to take a close look at. It's the sin of arrogance. Just think about how arrogant we all can be. We can be so arrogant that we think we are never wrong and we are always right. We can be so arrogant that our way is the best way and the only way. But there's another way that we can be so arrogant. For instance, right now, as you hear me speak these words, are you thinking to yourself, I know some people here who really need to hear this, because I know how arrogant they can be. If you are thinking that, then you are missing the point. When God speaks His law, He is speaking to you personally. And yet we can be so arrogant that we can think when God speaks His law, He's not speaking to us, but to others. That's how arrogant we are. This is how sinful we are. And God's verdict is very clear, that the soul who sins is the one who will die. Physical and eternal death. This is God's verdict to us, that we are guilty of our sins. But this is the verdict that Christ took upon Himself. Christ stepped in on our behalf. He stepped in to be our substitute. And the only way that God's justice, His wrath against sin, could be satisfied was to have someone live a perfect life. And that's what Christ did. For when He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, He did not have a sinful nature. And He lived out His whole life without committing a single sin. There was no arrogance, no sense of pride to Christ. For you even heard Christ say this morning, "I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me." But there was another thing that Christ needed to do to save us. Remember that God said the soul who sins is the one who will die. Therefore, someone had to die for us. And that's what Christ did. Even though He didn't earn or deserve death, He took death upon Himself. And Paul describes it in this way. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ died for us. And on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished," which means our sins were paid in full. And since our sins were paid in full, God raised Christ from the dead for our justification. It is because of Christ and what He has done that God's verdict now says, not guilty. And so the day is coming. It brings judgment. For the wicked, God will judge the guilty for their sins and punish them. But for the righteous, God will look to us and declare, not guilty, since we believe in Christ. And therefore, we look forward to Judgment Day for another reason. For that day brings healing. Malachi says, "But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings, and you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall." Malachi says, everyone who reveres God's name, there will be a Sun of Righteousness with healing. But who is this Sun of Righteousness that comes with healing in its wings? The Son of Righteousness is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He has healed you from your sins by dying on the cross and by bringing you to faith through the gospel in word and sacrament. He has healed you. But do you feel healed right now? Probably not, because we suffer from physical pains, emotional scars, and spiritual struggles. But we suffer those things because of sin. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us." This is why we look forward to Judgment Day. For on that day, God will heal us from every pain and suffering that is in this world. And when that happens, Malachi tells us that we will leap for joy like calves being released from its stall. And now just visualize that picture. Imagine a young calf so full of energy being penned up for some time. That calf is just dying to get out of its stall. And when the stall is finally opened, do you think that calf reluctantly walks out of its stall? Absolutely not. It runs out. It leaps for joy because it has been set free. And the same thing applies to us. When Christ returns on Judgment Day, will you reluctantly go to heaven to be with your Savior? Absolutely not. You will rejoice. You will leap for joy for the ultimate healing that God will bring to you. And yet, if you're anything like me, we still have some worries in the back of our minds. Even though Christ has died for us, even though he has brought us to faith, even though he assures us that we are forgiven, we still may wonder if God will let us into heaven. We may be afraid of Judgment Day because God might remember that one horrible sin that we committed, that one sin that was just too great to be forgiven. We might be afraid of Judgment Day because God might remember just how sinful and how horrible we have been throughout our lives. And there's just no way that God could forgive us for everything that we do. But don't be afraid of the day that is coming, because that day brings healing. God assures us that he does not want any of us to perish, but to turn to him and live. And we will live. We will be healed, because our God is compassionate and gracious. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for us. And God, who remembers everything, tells us that he remembers our sins no more. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our guilt from us. And so once more I ask you, are you excited for Judgment Day? Are you prepared for the day that is coming? For when God asks you, why should I let you into heaven? Simply say to God, I have not earned or deserved it. But because of Christ, my Savior, you have promised that to me. And on the basis of Christ and what he has done, and through faith in him, God will declare you not guilty of your sins. He will allow you to enter into heaven, and he will heal you. And I cannot describe that healing any better than the book of Revelation, where it says, never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is all ours on the day that Christ returns. And so we gladly say to our Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find in your pew.